Japan awaits word on fate of hostages held by ISIS.
Junko Ishido begged for the release of her son.
Yemen's sudden power shift.
The U.S. is reducing its embassy staff there.
The measles outbreak.
More people at risk than previously thought.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. Prayers at a Tokyo mosque on deadline day for two Japanese hostages held by ISIS terrorists. They've threatened to kill them and are demanding a $200 million ransom. The mother of one of them made a last-ditch appeal.
I would like to say to all the members of the Islamic State, Kenji is not the enemy of Islamic State.
Militants linked to ISIS posted an online warning today saying the countdown has begun. CBS's Lucy Kraft is in Tokyo.
Japanese officials say they have tried to communicate with the Islamic State terrorist group via a variety of official and informal channels, including social media, but all appeals seem to have been ignored, with Tokyo refusing to pay the $200 million ransom demanded by the terrorist group. Hopes are fading for the two hostages.
One of Washington's allies in the war on terror died yesterday. Saudi Arabia's King Abdullah was 90 years old. CBS's Margaret Brennan at the State Department.
He had historic outreach to Israel, and he also nudged along women's rights. He allowed them to vote in local elections. He opened up limited job and educational opportunities to them, though he fell short of a promise to allow them to drive. But all of these nudging along small steps were big for Saudi Arabia, which remains very conservative.
Allahu Akbar.
The king's funeral is underway in Saudi Arabia. His half-brother, Crown Prince Salman, is now king. He says he plans to continue King Abdullah's policies. Shiite rebels in Yemen have called for mass rallies a day after the president and his cabinet resigned. CBS's Cammie McCormick says the government had been cooperating with the U.S. in battling al-Qaeda.
The U.S. has further reduced its staff at the embassy in Yemen, and the State Department says it continues to watch the situation, which it calls troubling. A statement late last night said it is critical that all sides avoid violence. But the Obama administration also says the fight against al-Qaeda's Yemen-based affiliate remains a top priority, and counterterrorism cooperation will continue.
Here at home, a 19-year-old Denver woman will be sentenced to today. She's pleaded guilty to trying to help ISIS fighters and could get up to 5 years in prison. Shannon Connolly was arrested last April trying to board a flight. She said she was trying to get to Syria. 2 days of historic talks between the United States and Cuba as the two nations work to restore diplomatic ties. CBS's Manuel Bojorquez is in Havana.
Both sides have emerged saying we feel that there was some productivity here. We feel that we came to agreements basically on terms to say we should move forward, and we'll determine when we'll do that.
Now the latest on the measles outbreak. Turns out more people may have been exposed at Southern California Disney parks than first thought. Live to CBS's Barry Bagnato.
Infected employees and visitors were at Disneyland longer than previously believed. There are now about 75 confirmed cases in 6 states, and more than 30 infants, including Jennifer Simon's 6-month-old daughter, are quarantined at home after being exposed at an Oakland, California hospital to an infected child linked to the Disneyland outbreak, a child left unvaccinated.
People say that it's a personal choice, but it's a personal choice with a lot of possibly catastrophic consequences.
NIH infectious diseases expert Dr. Anthony Fauci tells CBS This Morning.
You have one of the top two most contagious viruses, and you have an extraordinarily effective vaccine.
Live in Washington, Barry Bagnato, CBS News.
First the coach, Bill Belichick, then the quarterback of the New England Patriots denied knowing anything about Deflategate. QB Tom Brady says there was nothing unusual about the footballs in last weekend's AFC title game.
When I felt them, they were perfect. I wouldn't want anyone touching those. I would zip those things up and lock them away until I got out on the field and had the opportunity to play with them, and that's what I thought I was doing.
The NFL's investigating underinflated balls, which could have helped Brady and his receivers get a grip in the cold, wet weather. Sports columnist William Roden of the New York Times is with us. Bill, where's this all now headed?
Well, we don't know. I mean, the NFL hasn't even talked to Brady or Belichick. And essentially, I think what the NFL is doing is probably sitting at a table as we speak and figuring out, how can we act like we're doing something and really do nothing? I'll be stunned if they hand out any serious penalty, which would be suspending Belichick, you know, for the Super Bowl, something like that. I mean, if there's anything done at all, it'll be more like a fine and a draft pick.
Really, before the Super Bowl, though, we're looking at a situation where the integrity of the game is again in play. Doesn't the league have to take action on this before the game?
They're a bottom line business. And all this is doing is making everything bigger. It's making now people record numbers of people are going to tune in because now they want to find out what's next. It's like you're the soap opera.
Aside from the penalty in this, is the NFL likely to take greater control over the balls before all games?
Well, I'm sure that will be a major adjustment. Now the NFL will be in charge of the balls, not the team.
Bill Roden of the New York Times, thanks. A British royal at the center of scandal is speaking out now. CBS's Larry Miller is in London.
Prince Andrew has for the first time publicly addressed allegations made in a Florida lawsuit that he had sex with an underage American 17-year-old girl a decade ago. Buckingham Palace has forcefully denied the claims three times.
I just wish to reiterate and to reaffirm the statements which have already been made on my behalf by Buckingham Palace.
Lawyers for the American woman have filed court papers seeking to force Prince Andrew to testify under oath. Andrew is likely to ignore that demand. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
Homeland Security says a record 2,212 guns were found in carry-on bags at U.S. airports last year. More than 80% of them were loaded. Most travelers say they just forgot they were in there. First big winter storm of the season is bearing down on the east this weekend. WCBS meteorologist Craig Allen is keeping an eye on it.
There are winter weather advisories in effect from the western hills of North Carolina right on up through western Virginia, a good chunk of eastern Pennsylvania suburbs north and west of New York City, and then it continues on up into sections of New England.
Well, some parts of eastern New England could get 6 to 12 inches of snow. Apple admits one of its new glitzy products has an issue it's yet to solve. Here's CBS's Jim Shenavy.
The new Apple Watch is due to hit stores this spring, and those who are willing to pony up the $350 for this latest gadget are sure to get a charge out of it, literally. That's because you won't want to get far from a power outlet if you plan to use the Apple Watch much. The battery isn't living up to expectations. Reports from those testing the watch show it can go from fully charged to dead as the proverbial doornail in just 4 hours. That's with constant use. Apparently, it can last up to 19 hours under combined active-passive use. Jim Shenavy, CBS News.
Sony is asking regulators for more time to submit a third-quarter earnings report. The company says it needs to repair computer systems damaged in the cyber attack linked to North Korea and the release of the movie The Interview. That report is due out early next month. And that's the World News Roundup for Friday. The broadcast is produced by Paul Ferry. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.